prepare our hearts for worship. Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to have you all here this day. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting with us. The big news is there's some food downstairs. You may have smelled it. I'm going to turn it over to Marty for an announcement about our luncheon after the service.
And he's making me come up here and speak in this, but I speak loud anyway. I see there's a lot of green in the house. Everybody in this sanctuary is invited downstairs. There's a lot of garlic in this soup so that your stomachs will start, you know, smelling this, and we're expecting you to come downstairs. We're prepared for everybody. The biggest thing I need to tell you, though, is there are no restrooms downstairs for the ladies. So should you need to visit the restroom, do it up here before you come downstairs. Secondly, have a seat when you come downstairs. We will serve you. You don't have to carry your soup, and we have two soups, vegetable beef and cream of broccoli, in honor of our St. Patrick's Day friends. Let's see what else. Donations are gladly welcome, because this is how friendship circle, support our missions. Everything after the expenses of the suit is we donate to missions. So keep that in mind. Should you need to write a check, which we will gladly accept, please write it to Joan Jones and not to Asbury. So we don't have to, won't have to go through all that stuff with Asbury. So. But come downstairs and have lunch with us. There's soup, salad, and dessert. And we're looking forward to and bread. So we're looking forward to everybody coming in.
I didn't hear you say green beer, though. I thought that
was
good.
I was doing it, and they told me I couldn't do it.
Oh.
I am a mermaid.
Well, just draw your attention to a few of the other announcements in our bulletin. Several meetings coming up this week. Thursday, the Senior Adult Ministries, the SAMS Club, is meeting. Margaret, is that going to be at your house? Is
yes.
That right? At Margaret and Derek's house, just up the hill over there. And because of the construction still going on downstairs with our bathrooms, we hope that that will be finished shortly. So anyway, also there's a finance committee meeting this Thursday at 6:30. Missions committee Monday at 7. Handbell rehearsal.
Seven o'clock.
Okay, our apologies. 7 p.m. for the finance committee meeting this Thursday. And the NOW committee will meet next Sunday right after worship. Any other announcements?
You were saying handbells.
Yes.
You didn't say when.
Wednesday. 6.
Yay.
Wednesday at 6 for handbells. And anyone new is welcome to join us as well. We have fun most of the time, right?
All the time.
All the time. Well, I invite you to stand as we join together in song. Our opening hymn is number 110, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. 110.
Thank you.
you to remain standing as we join together in the back of our hymn books with our responsive reading from the Psalter, from Psalm number 34, which is found on page 769. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the afflicted hear and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together.
I saw the Lord answer me and deliver me from all my fears.
Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed.
The poor cry out.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God.
O fear the Lord, you His holy ones, for those who fear God have no want.
The unwise suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
With which of you desires life?
Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit.
Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The ears of the Lord hear their cry.
The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them.
The Lord heals all their bones; not one of them is broken.
Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned.
The Lord redeems the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in God will be condemned.
Our children to come down for our children's time.
All right, here's your task today. Everybody gets to sit on the floor but me. I'm the one with the bad knees, and you all can get up off the floor just fine. Over here, please. That way I can see your smiling faces. Thank you, thank you. All right. You know, sometimes reading the Bible and a psalm like we just did, there's lots of words we don't understand and hard to read and all of that. So I'm going to look at our Old Testament lesson today. And it talks about rocks. If I told you to act like a rock, how would you act? Most of you are getting pretty still. I think that's pretty accurate. Some of you drew in those arms and drew up the knees. Why'd you draw your arms and knees up? Because rocks don't have arms and legs. I've never seen one with arms and legs. Have you? No. What else about rocks do you know? Yes. No form of life. They just kind of sit there, don't they? Sometimes people pick them up and throw them. You know what I would call those? I'd call those stones and pebbles. Today I'm talking about great, big, massive boulders and rocks that you might find in the mountains. Sometimes people do paint them. We're not going to paint any today. I asked everybody to sit down here, so now they're wanting to join you. Thank you, Miss Harper. Thank you. So if we said, as this Old Testament lesson does today, Be a rock of refuge for me. What does refuge mean? What do you think we're asking God to be if we want God to be our rock? Wherefore? A shield to protect us. And the refuge is something that we can kind of hide behind and gain strength from and encouragement from. It goes on to say a strong fortress. And sometimes castles and buildings of old were made of big rocks. We don't see many houses today that are made of great big rocks, but sometimes they're made of stone. Excuse me? Okay. Bricks are similar to rocks, but bricks are actually man-made. We put sand and all those other things together to make a brick. Rocks God made, and they're out there for us to harvest from the fields and then sometime chisel down to make houses. But we're getting into building, and I don't want to go that far. But a house protects us. It keeps us safe from things, doesn't it? And it gives us a roof. Exactly. Okay. Well, before people built houses out of all those bricks, they just wanted that big rock to remind them of the strength of God and how God could keep them safe and how God could protect them from things. Well, sometimes they lived in tents that were just made out of animal skins. And we could go into a whole history. So we're going to stop there and just remember that this morning we're talking about how God can protect us and be our rock, our strong foundation. Okay? Let us stand and share in a prayer. Can we circle up and hold hands? Thank you, God, for all of these children and all the things they want to share and learn about. Keep them coming back that we may share your stories and your strength and your protection of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Cora and Wheeler, can you do one side for our bread tin? And do we have some words there?
Thank you. wonderful things for our community, and I think I'm proud that we should all be proud that we can be part of it.
Before our scriptures are read, let us join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Open our hearts and minds this day, O God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, that we might hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
My shepherd, my shepherd, my shepherd.
gospel lesson as we continue on in our series of the last words of Jesus from the cross. The series will conclude today, and we find the words from John chapter 19, verses 29 through 37. Hear now the word of the Lord. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because the Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified, so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: "None of his bones shall be broken." And again, another passage of scripture says, "They will look on the one whom they have pierced." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I always find it interesting to see what people do for a hobby. You can tell a lot about somebody by what they do in their spare time, can't you? And though in my experience, preachers can be some of the most boring lot of people around. I can say that because I am one. But they have some pretty varied hobbies in my experience. I have a Lutheran colleague who spends his spare time sailing and teaching dancing lessons. I have another that he's a retired Presbyterian minister who brews his own beer. He was very jealous when he found out I was coming here to Asheville a few months ago. And then another Methodist minister I know collects model trains, and his entire basement he has transformed into this other little tiny world of trains and stuff, and has little models of all sorts of things, and goes down there and puts on a conductor hat and does all this stuff. Anyway, I like to do woodworking as my hobby. Right now I'm working on a mission style lamp that's made out of walnut, and I can take that wood and I can take it from its rough form and mill out all the different pieces and do it down to just the proper thickness with my planer, and I can join it and get it nice and square, and then I can take each little individual piece of it over to the bench and clamp it in the vise and work it with some hand tools and that sort of thing and get that piece of wood just right and just the way that it needs to be. In a lot of time, my wife makes fun of me for how long it takes me to finish something. I have something, though, when I'm done that's one of a kind, that's handcrafted, and that can hopefully be passed down to someone one day when I'm far gone. But the thing I like best about woodworking is that feeling I get when I actually finish something. As a Methodist minister, my work is never really done. Sunday seems to come every week, whether I take a Sunday off or what, a day off during the week or whatever. Sunday comes every week. It's amazing how that happens. And then the Sunday after that, it comes, 7 days later again and again and again. And there's no end to my work as a minister, I often feel like. And so many times those who answer the call to ministry never see the results of the seeds that they plant or water or tend, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the church in Corinth. But when I'm in my shop, in my little garage, and the last nail's driven and the varnish dries on that seventh coat, I'm finished. And as we end this series on the final words of Jesus from the cross, we hear him cry out, "It is finished." It must have seemed like an eternity hanging there on the cross, on that wooden crossbeam. He had endured several hours of agony and pain, and to be able to speak those words that we have this morning as our great good news, "It is finished," must have been quite a relief to him. If you remember back in Jesus' life a little bit, there was a time recorded in Mark chapter 6 where Jesus is teaching in the synagogue of his hometown on the Sabbath. And the people who heard him were astounded. And they said, "Where did this man get all this? What's this wisdom that's been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him, Mark tells us. This is the only place in Scripture where we're giving some insight into what Jesus did from the time that he was 12 years old until he was an adult, about 30 or so at the start of his public ministry. The crowd tells us parenthetically from Mark's verse there, says, "Is not this the carpenter?" The tekton is the Greek word there. And the tekton was someone who was a craftsman, who crafted something either out of wood or stone. There's a different word for metal workers back then. But those who were craftsmen out of wood or stone were referred to as a tekton. Jesus was a woodworker, we're told there. He would have doubtless known that sense of satisfaction and pride that comes when the very last nail is driven, when the last stick of wood is shaped. If only we had a chair or a table that Jesus himself had constructed. I was reminded of the chair that Bishop Francis Asbury had that Daniel Killian from our church way back when made, that we have on permanent loan up at the World Methodist Museum at Junaluska. But that chair that's only a little over 200 years old reminds us so much of the history. And it's this nice, tangible thing that you can look at and see and remember the past. But how wonderful it would be to have a physical object of some sort that Jesus himself had made. If only something like that still existed. Well, in a sense it does. Although we may not have any surviving items of things that Jesus built, we still have his greatest masterpiece. You see, out of wood and nails was built the greatest magnum opus ever imagined. The crucifixion. The wood that Jesus was nailed to for those dark hours one Friday afternoon comprised the most magnificent work ever created. Jesus knew what he was making with the wood and the nails that day. The plans for its construction had been written in God's word for centuries. The details of its structure had been sung in the Psalms of ancient Israel in the temple for ages. Jesus knew just what he was building that Good Friday. It wasn't an instrument of execution. Rather, it was a bridge from one world to another, from the kingdoms of earth to the kingdom of heaven, from death to life. And finally, Jesus could step back and look at his masterful work and breathe that sigh of relief and those final words, "It is finished. It is finished." Let us pray. O Christ, the master carpenter, who at the last through wood and nails purchased our whole salvation, wield well, we pray, your tools in this, the workshop of your world, so that we who come rough-hewn to your bench may here be fashioned into a truer beauty of your hand. We ask it for your own name's sake. Amen. I invite you to stand. Our hymn is number 394, Something Beautiful. 394. If you would remember the family of Gloria Benson, Deborah Hawkins' mother-in-law, she's been on our prayer list for some while and was unwell. She passed away this week. So, Deborah, our prayers and thoughts are with you and your husband in this difficult time. Also, Julie Nowinski has had surgery. Please remember her. And Rachel, you're having your wisdom teeth removed. Oh, I'm so sorry. I will definitely keep you in my prayers as well. And you're in all our prayers. That was a horrible, horrible time. And it was a great time. I had no pain whatsoever for 2 weeks after. Are there other additions to our prayer list?
Linda.
If you would remember Linda, please. Others?
Wes.
Well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as today is one of those days when we remember one of your saints from long ago, St. Patrick, we're reminded of all things green. We're reminded, O Lord, of your threefold nature that we see in clovers. And we're reminded of the life that springs forth out of the cold ground. We're reminded of the new life that you give to us all. Gracious Lord, for life, we give you our thanks. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We're reminded, O Lord, of the witness and the example of St. Patrick, who spent his days as a missionary. A missionary to folks who had, at one point earlier in his life, kept him in slavery. O Lord, keep us in mission as your people this day as well. Help us that we might be bound not by the chains of this world, but by the freedom that comes through you, to serve you and to do your will throughout this place and beyond. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we lift up to you all of those names on our prayer list, all of those names that we lift up silently before you, and all of those situations, O Lord, that you know even better than we know ourselves. For those who grieve, give them your comfort. For those who hurt, give them your healing. For those who are weak, give them your strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And from the depths of our spirits, O Lord, hear us now as our hearts cry out to you in silence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
And as Christ our Lord taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
to the sea. Though the waters may roar and the mountains may shake, I know that He will take care of me. God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. Always present in time of trouble. God is our refuge and strength.
He breaks the bow and He shatters the spear. A mighty fortress is He. No more will I fear, for the battle is His. I know that He will
pray. Gracious God, we give you all thanks and praise for these and for all the blessings of life. Accept these our humble gifts, O Lord, that they might go to win others for you, for we ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing for our last hymn. It's Take My Life and Let It Be, number 399.
Thank you.
Well, this being St. Patrick's Day, I'll leave you with the benediction prayer from St. Patrick. And also, I will offer a blessing over the food downstairs. And we remind you that you're invited to join us just downstairs right after the service. May the strength of God pilot us. May the power of God preserve us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us. May the will of God direct us. May the shield of God defend us. May the host of God guard us against the snares of the evil one, against the temptations of the world. May Christ be with us. May Christ be before us. May Christ be in us. Christ be over all. May thy salvation, Lord, always be ours this day and evermore. And Lord, we give you thanks for the food that has been prepared for us, for the hands that have prepared it, and for those, O Lord, who will benefit from our mission's offering. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise, now and always. Amen.